you've been with us for the past few weeks, we've been using Ephesians chapter 4 as our text chapter, and we've been looking, starting in verse 4, as Paul discusses the seven ones. We need to understand that this is important because one is the most important thing that we're after. We're after whatever God wants us to know, believe, and practice. And so many of what he says, there is one God, there is one Christ, there is one body, there is one faith, there is one hope. And today we're going to look at a word that the world uses so many times, but often does not use it as the Bible does. We're going to look at the word baptism. And Paul says there is one baptism. You listen to people today, and people will tell you that they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. Others will tell you that they were baptized, and the way they were baptized was as an infant. Some will tell you that baptism is an outward sign of an inward grace. Others will tell you that you can sprinkle or pour. Just many things about baptism, but there is a question that I want us to answer today. It is an answer or a question that everybody needs to ask about everything that they believe and practice. What does the Bible say? Not what does HL say, not what does any other preacher say, not what does some religious council, not what is written in some creed book. But what does the Bible say? Real quickly this morning, I want to remind some of you, and perhaps some of you have never quite put this together. But if you read your Bibles, the Bible talks about five different baptisms. This is what we read about in Scripture. We read, first of all, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where we're reminded of a time when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt. And if you remember, they were on the banks of the Red Sea. Pharaoh's army was behind them. And God told Moses to stretch out his rod. And when he did, the waters parted. And after the wind had blown all night, the children of Israel walked through the sea on dry land. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul says, "Brethren, I would not have you ignorant how that our fathers all passed through the sea and under the cloud and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea." Now, if you get the picture, the water was standing up on each side. There was a cloud over them. And if you know simple things about science, you know that clouds are filled with water. And so they were covered in the cloud and in the sea. The second baptism we read about in the Bible is found in Luke chapter 3 and many other places and many accounts about the baptism of John. John came preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. We're not going to spend a great deal of time this morning on this, but there are many people today who do not yet understand the purpose of the baptism of John. John came as he was commissioned. It was said of him that he would come in the spirit and the power of Elijah, and that he would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest God should come and destroy them. He was said to come prepare the way of the Lord, to make straight his path. He was to come to get people ready for the kingdom that was to come. John began to preach that the kingdom was at hand. We know that during the journey of John, that he was beheaded, and that Jesus then would begin his personal ministry. And he would take up that cry or that teaching that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. But John said that he had come preaching baptism for the remission of sins. I can't tell you how many times I have asked the question, did John's baptism forgive sins? And people would say no. Even though the Bible says that's why he came. And that's what it was for. We'll skip ahead just a little bit to the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, where we find that Paul came in contact with 12 disciples, and he asked them a question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you were baptized? And they said, we didn't even know that he was given. And they said, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. So Paul began there and taught these men about the baptism of Jesus. And when they had heard these things, they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Now we need to understand that it is always important that we keep in mind context, we keep in mind time, the reason for things. When the Bible says that they had come to the city of Corinth, they had come to a Gentile city. The Gentiles did not hear about the gospel until after the day of Pentecost. So we know that those like Paul and Barnabas, who went out preaching, especially like Apollos, they went out teaching the baptism of John because that's all they knew. That's all they had heard. They did not realize, they had not heard about Pentecost. They had not heard about what had happened on that great day. And so these people were baptized under John's baptism after the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, the baptism of John became null and void. And the baptism of Jesus took its place because this is what was promised, that men would be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. But don't forget this. John's baptism had people ready for the kingdom. How many people on the day of Pentecost became Christians because they had already been baptized under John's baptism for the remission of sins? They were to be charter members of the kingdom of heaven because they were ready, they were prepared for the coming of the Lord and the coming of the kingdom. But after the day of Pentecost, the baptism of Jesus came into effect, and the baptism of John became null and void. Going again to Luke chapter 3, the Bible talks about that there were two other baptisms that were mentioned. There was the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where the Bible says that Jesus declared that he would baptize them with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Many people today are still talking about, I know I'm a Christian because I have been baptized with the Holy Spirit. If you are basing your hope of salvation on Holy Spirit baptism, then you should ask the question, how can I recognize Holy Spirit baptism? Many people say that Holy Spirit baptism is what forgives sins. Holy Spirit baptism, the sign of it is the ability to speak in tongues. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, declared that many Christians received miraculous gifts, one of which was the ability to speak in tongues. But Paul said that not every man received the same gifts, but the Holy Spirit gave these gifts to men as it pleased him. I want you to think for just a minute. There are only two examples in the New Testament of Holy Spirit baptism. One is found on the day of Pentecost, when the Bible says that the people had assembled, and on that day, the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles. They received what Jesus promised them. You shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. And on that day, on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says suddenly there was a sound as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house wherein they were sitting. And on the apostles there appeared cloven tongues like as a fire, and set upon each of them. And they began to speak as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. Now somebody says, if I can't do the same things they did, then that means I am a second-class citizen at best. When you go to the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, there was a man by the name of Cornelius, a devout man, one that feared God and gave much alms to the poor. There came a vision to him saying, "You send down to Joppa for one Peter, and when he has come, he will teach you or give you words whereby you might be saved." So they sat down and they called Peter, and he came. And the Bible says, as he taught them or preached to them, that the Holy Spirit fell on them. When you go to the 11th chapter, after Paul or Peter had gone ahead and taught Cornelius and his household, they had been baptized into Christ. Peter had to go up to the city of Jerusalem to defend the fact that he had baptized a Gentile. And in that defense, here's what Peter said. "Who was I to argue with God? Seeing," what did he see? "Seeing that they," that is the household of Cornelius, "received the outpouring of the Holy Spirit just like every other Christian." That's not what the Bible says. Peter said, "Seeing that they received the Holy Spirit just like we did in the beginning." So if you read the Bible the way it is written, you will conclude that on the house of the day of the household of Cornelius, when Peter came and talked to him, that there was a sound as a rushing mighty wind, cloven tongues like as a fire, set upon Cornelius. And he began to speak with other tongues. This was in fulfillment of the prophet of Joel in Joel chapter 2. When the Bible says, "I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh," meaning Jew and Gentile. On the day of Pentecost, the Jews received the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. At the city, at the household of Cornelius, as recorded in Acts chapter 10, the Gentiles received that gift. Now this was done to prove to the Jews that in every nation, he that fears God, that believes him and fears him, is accepted with him. Only two times in history is there any mention in the Bible of people having experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But going back to Acts chapter 10, even after the household of Cornelius had received this gift, the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, don't miss these words from Peter. Peter said, "Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized, who received the Spirit just like we did, even though they had received Holy Spirit baptism? They were not forgiven of their sins until they had been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. But he said, I will baptize you with fire." There's a day coming, the Bible says, when the earth will melt with fervent heat. It'll be burned up. There will be nothing left. Some will receive the announcement that they will be allowed to go to heaven. And others will be sent away into everlasting fire, there to be in the presence of the devil for eternity, to live and to dwell. So there have been three baptisms that we can read about in the Bible. There is one yet to come. But Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, today there is one baptism. And that baptism is the baptism of Jesus Christ. Why should people be baptized today? Some people say, you should be baptized in order to fulfill a commandment. You should be baptized in order to show that outward sign of an inward grace, to show that you have been saved and be a witness to other people. Listen to what the Bible says. In Acts chapter 22, we have Paul going back to the day that he had seen the Lord on the road to Damascus. He had gone into the city blind, tarried there until Ananias came to him. And here's what Paul said. And when Ananias came, he said, "Brother Saul, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins." Did you hear what he said? Ask yourself the question. If, as many people tell me today, Paul was saved on the road to Damascus, then one of two things must be true. If Paul was saved on the road to Damascus, the Lord didn't know it. Paul didn't know it, and Ananias didn't know it. Because the Lord said, "You go into the city, and there it will be told you what you must do." He told Ananias to go and to preach to Paul. And Ananias came and said, "Brother Saul, you're still in your sins. You need to be washed in the blood of the Lamb." Now, do you believe that Jesus did not know what he wanted Paul to do? Do you believe Paul was saved, but Jesus didn't know it? You believe he was saved, but Paul didn't know it? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Secondly, Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 20, that there was a time when God waited in the days of Noah while an ark was prepared, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. Now listen to it. The like figure whereunto, even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward God. Now listen carefully to what Peter said. Baptism doth also now save us. Somebody says to me, "Preacher, all you got to do to be saved is believe." And I will say to you, I had as soon defend the proposition that man can be saved by baptism alone as I had to defend the proposition that man can be saved by faith alone. Listen to what James said. Faith without works is dead, being alone. Show me your faith without your works. I'll show you my faith by my works. For faith without works is dead, being alone. Peter said, baptism saves. Throughout the Bible, here's what we read in the New Testament. Man believes unto righteousness. Confession is made unto salvation. But listen to the Bible in Romans chapter 6, where Paul says, "As many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." I do not believe that baptism is superior to faith. I do not believe it is superior to confession. I do not believe it is superior to repentance. But I do believe that if you can do all the other three and you refuse to be baptized, You would never have had your sins washed away. You have never been added to Christ. You have never put Him on as Lord and Savior. On the day of Pentecost, when men recognized that they had crucified the Son of God, they came to Peter and the others and they said, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Not because your sins have been forgiven, but in order that they might be forgiven." And finally, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul said, "If any man be in Christ..." Now, how does he get into Christ? Paul said in Romans chapter 6, if you've been baptized into Christ, then Paul said, if you're in Christ, you're a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So the question today is this: who needs to be baptized? In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In chapter 6 and verse 23, the soul that sinneth it shall die. How do I get my sins forgiven? My sins must be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. I hope that I do not say this amiss. Many people tell me, "Well, you just can't be that strict with the Word of God. God's going to save people not because of what they do. He's going to save people that you don't even imagine." I leave you with this thought. It is your soul that someday will answer before the judgment seat of God. Paul said to the Corinthians, we'll all stand that day and we'll give an answer for the things that we've done in this body, whether they be good or whether they be evil. When I stand before the Lord on the day of judgment, I do not want to run the risk of Him saying, "Did you not read this commandment? Did you not read this teaching? Why did you decide to say, I don't need this? I don't need to do this." Make your calling and election sure. Would I miss heaven because I choose to do things different than what I read in Scripture? Because I take one passage and one teaching and make it superior to others? Paul said, "I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God." When you stand before God on the day of judgment, don't come saying, "Lord, will you accept me in spite of this and in spite of this?" But come with the full assurance that I have done the best I can do to comply with the will of heaven, to honor Him, and to obey Him. Listen to Paul again in Romans chapter 6. "You obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered unto you." You see, Jesus died on the cross. He was buried in the tomb. And He arose victorious over death. He arose to ascend back to heaven. And Paul said, "You obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine." That is, you died to sin. You were buried in the watery grave of baptism. And you were raised to walk with Jesus in newness of life. May God bless us that we always honor the Lord in what we do and what we teach. And if you're a subject to the call of the Master, we encourage you to respond by yourself.
Wow. What can wash away my sin?